Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Danny Pena. I have a very special guest here this episode of Gamertag Radio. I have the game director of Alan Wake 2, Kyle Rowley. We had a great conversation about the new expansion, the Lake House. Talked about Agent Estevez, Alan Wake, how this is going to be different, the length of this expansion, a little bit about Control, and maybe a couple other new projects that we'll see. But we talked about also like Easter eggs from the lore. It was a great conversation. Great conversation overall. So make sure to check it out for you guys. If you're watching the video version, make sure to follow me, subscribe, click the like button, whatever you get the chance. This will help to spread the word about my content. And I'm working on a couple other things for future content. Make sure to stay tuned. So now let's enjoy the interview. And please post your feedback. Let me know what your thoughts. All right. Check it out. Yeah, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio, and look, guys, you know, I've been a huge, huge fan of Alan Wake 2. I know I met Kyle a couple years, was it last year at Summer Game Fest?
It feels like ages ago, but I guess it was the summer before, I guess, 23.
Yeah, something like that. But I remember, you know, sitting down with you and Sam, and I was like a fanboy, man, just asking so many random questions about Alan Wake 2, man. But Kyle, man, welcome back to the show. I know we're going to be talking about the new expansion that is actually coming out tomorrow, Lake House. I have a lot of questions about that. But Kyle, tell us how you've been since the last time we sat down and talked, man.
I mean, since the last time we talked, there's been a lot going on, right? I mean, we shipped the game. That was fun and exciting. You know, it's been a crazy... Well, I've been on this project now for almost 6 years because I actually started in January 2019. I was like the second person on the third person on the project. Sam has been on this project for 12 years or 13 years at this point, 14 years at this point. But I was the second person on there. So it's been a long journey going through pre-production and developing the game and shipping it. But, you know, we couldn't have been happier with the response that we got from, you know, players and people like yourselves. You know, seeing the reviews and kind of going through, the team was super excited and getting the luxury and the privilege to be able to then go to, you know, different award shows and see friends travel the world a little bit in helping spread Remedy's good name and the game. So it's been really exciting. And, you know, the last year or so, you know, been working on the expansions, Night Springs, and then, the Lake House, which we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, definitely. So I have one question, and we're gonna start with this, man. First of all, I enjoyed both trailers. There was a lot of Easter eggs in both trailers, a lot of Easter eggs there. And I knew from the beginning, I'm like, okay, so this is gonna be about Estevez. You know, I know you guys haven't said much, but is this story takes place before the story of Alan Wake 2 or what?
In terms of it actually runs in parallel to the main events of Alan Wake 2. A certain point in the story is where, like, in the kind of base game, and it's kind of like its timeline, it takes place. But as a player, you will basically be able to access it, well, from the main menu, so like Night Springs, and then also like Night Springs, which we ended up kind of integrating into the kind of core game flow. So with Night Springs, obviously, when you're in the dark place of Alan, you'll come across these different TVs. They'll have Dor presenting the episode, and then you can interact with the TV, and we fly you into the Night Springs episode, just part of the core flow. So in a similar fashion, you'll be able to basically experience the Lake House expansion as you're kind of playing through the base game at a certain point during Return 6, the Scratch mission. And basically, by talking to Estevez, we effectively do like a flashback to the kind of what happened in the Lake House when Estevez was investigating it.
Yeah. Why Estevez? Why her character is so important for people to learn more about her in this expansion?
Couple of things, really. We always knew we wanted to do the Lake House as an expansion. Like we set it up during the base game. You know, you can come across the Lake House as you're playing as Saga and exploring Cauldron Lake. So we always knew we wanted to tell the story of what occurred there. And the other side to that is that, you know, when we were working with Janina, who plays Estevez, you know, we just really liked the way that character took shape, and you know how the role that she played inside the base story, and she gives a very unique perspective to the events of Alan Wake 2, because you know she's coming at it from the perspective of the FBC, the Federal Bureau of Control. So we get to see how agents of that agency react to different paranormal, like supernatural events. You know, when we're playing a saga, she's coming from the FBI perspective, which is, you know, doesn't really deal with supernatural so much. So, you know, so when we got Saga's kind of perspective into the world of Alan Wake through the FBI, the FBI angle, but, you know, Estevez, as an FBC agent, she's seen a lot of this stuff before. So she just gives a different perspective, and also just gives us more insight into the world of the FBC, kind of like how their organization is run. And, you know, as when we're playing through the Lake House, we learn even more about that just through the kind of narrative stuff that we're going to be players again to experience there.
Yeah, actually, my next question relates to your background. Actually, is she gonna have like her Estevez? Is she gonna have like her own mind place, or like you know, Alan Wake, the writer's room? Are we gonna see something like that? Maybe her own thing, or this just gonna be similar to the last expansion where you just play a character, get to know them more about them playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we did talk about that, but I think for us, you know, the mind place is very much is a saga thing, in the sense, you know, as you know, when you're kind of playing through the game, you kind of understand why she has that and how it works. And similarly for Wake, you know, he does have some supernatural abilities, being able to rewrite reality and those aspects. So for Estevez, we didn't necessarily want to do that, just because it kind of, for us, meant it cheapened, or it could cheapen the mechanics that we kind of built for the base game. But at the same time, we really wanted to have a means for us to kind of help tell the story in the same way that we utilized the mind place and the case board for Saga, to kind of like allow players to kind of understand what Saga's perspective was on things. Similarly for Wake and the plot board, understanding his perspective, you know, as a player, I can jump into those different mechanics and learn about the story. So we wanted something like that for Estevez. So she doesn't have her own mind place, but we do. By pressing the same button, you end up going to a map, which is kind of, again, in a kind of 3D space. It's not a kind of UI overlay. It's actually built in 3D. But we have Estevez kind of like making notes on the map, effectively. So as you're kind of playing through the Lake House, she's kind of giving her perspective on the events that unfold there. So on top of getting, you know, her personality and her character traits across through traditional means like cinematics or voiceover lines, we also have her kind of thought process of uncovering the secrets of the Lake House through the map system itself.
Did you work on Control at all?
I did not, actually.
You didn't? Okay. No. Yeah, because I was going to show you something, but I know the fans are also hardcore too, but actually, let's see if I can share the screen very quick. And you could comment. If not, it's all good. So the first time that I heard about her, about Agent Estevez, was also actually in Control. Was it the AWE expansion?
Yeah, we set some of that stuff up with her.
Yeah, yeah. So there's like a little, let me see, I can show you real quick. This is pretty cool. Let's see. Yeah, there's like a little note here from Agent Estevez. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Can you see it from there or not?
Yeah.
So here, like, she also mentions here about the Lake House and all that stuff in there too, right? So
and raccoons, because I don't know if you speak to Stephen Lee in Alan Wake 2, he's talking about those goddamn raccoons and badgers. And
yeah, stuff. I was going to mention that about the raccoons. yeah, I was gonna mention that too, man.
But it's almost like we have a bit of a plan on some of the stuff that we kind of.
I know. It's pretty really cool to see that, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, like we were working on Alan Wake 2 when that DLC was being developed, obviously inside the Control team. So we were kind of involved in some of the setups that were kind of planted there, obviously setting up some of the stuff, the events that happens in Alan Wake in Alan Wake 2, and it's very much you know. Because we're working inside the Lake House and FBC facility now for this expansion, we've definitely had this a kind of similar setup with the Control team at Remedy, where we've been, you know, utilizing them and they've been helping us in making sure that the mood and tone kind of like is represents the Control franchise as it should do, while giving us some, you know, flexibility in and making sure that we can kind of bring it into the world of Alan Wake in the correct way too. So that's been cool.
Yeah, you know what, I just love that you guys, the whole team has been experimenting with like new genres. So like, you know, playing the original Alan Wake and playing now Alan Wake 2, totally different style. The feeling, the tone is very different. Mm. And now, you know, playing, now we're going to play The Lake House. And it's like a mix of a little bit of Alan Wake and also Control. Yeah. And now the announcement of the FBC Firebreakers?
Yeah.
That's
a
totally different type of genre for you guys. So, like, you know, what makes you guys decide, like, okay, let's try this out? Is it during the process or, like, after you guys come up with the writing or what?
Well, obviously, when we were doing Alan Wake 2, we set out from the beginning with Sam that, okay, we kind of put a stake in the ground and said, we're going to make this a survival horror game. And to make sure that the gameplay and the story were working together as kind of one cohesive package, we wanted to tell a horror story that went with that horror gameplay. So everything would kind of come together as one. Alan Wake 1, there was a bit of a dissonance between the story and the gameplay. So kind of people weren't sure what the game was and how it, what kind of it played like. So for 2, we really wanted to say, well, this is this. And we already knew, obviously, what Control was, and we didn't want to be the same as Control because, you know, I think it makes sense for us to kind of cover different areas of different genres, so we're not kind of, like, repeating the same game just under a different name. And for sure, FBC Firebreaker obviously is kind of following the same principles there. I think for us, it's about making sure that we have games that feel unique and can stand on their own and don't kind of step on the toes of other franchises that we're also trying to work on.
Are we going to get to hear Alan Wake as narrating in this new expansion, or this is going to be more Estevez on her own, like similar to what happened with Saga?
So Estevez is recounting events, so it's like a flashback. So you'll get her narration basically explaining kind of events that have happened. But we do, obviously, you know, it's an Alan Wake game, so Alan Wake does take a role inside the expansion. He is present in different ways. Won't go into details about exactly how, but yeah, definitely mainly told through the perspective of Estevez recounting events, but also, yeah, Wake is there. You know, he writes manuscripts. This is part of Return, so, you know.
Yeah, okay, cool. This is an interesting question right here. So watching the latest trailer, by the way, I really enjoyed watching the Xbox preview, partner preview, where...
Yeah, we kind of had, like, the front and the end of that. It was great. Like,
yeah, it was really cool. But let's talk about the end of that trailer, man. What's up with... And for those who don't know, Dylan comes... It looks like it's Dylan that comes at the end. Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. What is up with that? Yeah, I mean, we put it in the trailer, so we can say that, yeah, Dylan's definitely is a part of it. Don't really want to talk about why or how or anything like that, because it's a big part of, you know, some of the story stuff that takes place inside the Lake House. All I say is that, you know, there's things hidden in there that I think if you have played Control, you will kind of appreciate quite a lot. I think from our perspective, we wanted to create an experience and an expansion that, you know, people who've played Alan Wake 2 really enjoyed, first and foremost. You know, because it's an expansion for Alan Wake 2, so it should feel still meaningful for people who've played the base game. And then, as we do approach most of our games, and if you are invested in the Remedy Connected universe and you have played all of our previous games, there will be hidden extra content there that will kind of, like, you know, have additional meaning for you. You know, it will kind of... Whoa, what was that about? Oh, shit, there's a connection there. You know, it's that kind of stuff. You know, we really want to make sure that the base game and the expansions work for the people who play and want to play those games. But we also want to kind of make sure that, you know, if you're invested in our world, that you kind of get a payoff there too. So
when you guys were creating Agent Estevez, did you guys had Janina like right away in your mind, like, okay, I think she will be perfect for this? Or it took some time after you guys were done with everything that you got a conversation with her to be part of this project?
You know, Sam and Janina have a really good relationship just outside of us working together on this project. So I think that, you know, when we were coming up with Estevez as a character, we definitely had her in mind for that role. I think that she just, you know, portrays that character exactly as we kind of imagined in our head, and she's just a really professional and excellent actress to work with. So super happy that we've been able to work with her both, you know, in the base game and then expand her role in the expansion, because I think she's just a really cool character, and it's quite different from Saga and our other characters. I think it's important for us that all of our characters feel unique and have their own personality. I think that Estevez definitely has her own, perception of the world based on, working for the FBC and all the things that she's seen there, that I think just gives us a different insight into the world of Alan Wake. So,
in the original game, can we go to where the lake house? I know there's an era where you could get to see, it says a sign of the lake house, and it's like a button there to to get in. So can you now with this expansion, can you go there? Will we see something different or is it still the same or no?
No, when you, like, the base game was written assuming that, the lake house events had already happened, like when they happen. So we don't change anything in the base game based on that. But, as Estevez, you will be going to the same gate, and it will be the same buzzer, and you can interact with it, and it will buzz, and things will happen if you do that. So we wanted to keep it consistent in terms of its world, so like the same thing that you saw in when you're playing the base game of Saga is kind of there when you're playing as Estevez. It's just we didn't add anything extra for the Saga side of it, because
because I know you guys had a new update just like a few minutes ago. It just went live. Can you tell us a little bit about the update, the new update just came out right before the expansion?
Oh, you mean the anniversary update that we're doing?
The anniversary.
So we've been working on some, different accessibility options for players. We've added a bunch of toggles. We've kind of improved how the quick turn works. We've added horizontal aiming. We've added one-shot kills. These are things that earn immortality and infinite ammo on both and infinite flashlights. And a bunch of toggles for general accessibility things. So you'd have to button mash and you can just hold the button, those kind of things, just as a quality of life update. We did the similar thing for Control and it went down really well. And, we know that there's some players who, they just want to get through and get through the combat and just experience the cool story. So this is just an additional means for them to do that on top of, the kind of story mode that we kind of ship the game with. We also added, let me think about this. We also added gyro support for the PS5 DualSense controller. So, and also improved some of the haptics and adaptive triggers there. And that works on both PS5 and PC. So, if you have a DualSense, you can hook it up and you'll get those new features too. We've a bunch of bug fixes that, just general performance improvements and things like that. So,
No, that's cool. That's cool. I also was going to mention to you about in the past, working on this project, what was it that stood out to you the most about, working on this, with Sam and the team? Because I know this is something that you guys have been working on now for the past couple of years, and the reaction, seeing people talking about, the game once it came out, I think this is one of your best projects you guys worked on, man, in my opinion, and I can't wait to see what's next for you, for you and the team, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been lots of highs and lows. It's hard making games. So sure. there was times in the project where, we do, because when we're creating something totally new, there's a lot of uncertainty all over the place. So it's like, okay, well, how does this game mechanic work? What kind of enemies are we going to have? Like, how does the story unfold? What in the dark place, what the hell does a murder site even look like? How do we do the visual connections between Wake and Saga? Like, all these kind of creative aspects of making a game, they kind of, there's a lot of uncertainty, and at the same time with all of this uncertainty, you're still steamrolling towards an end date, and there's pressure to try and solve these problems. So it can be quite stressful working on a new game. So it's only at the end, right towards the end, when we started doing some usability tests, our kind of internal user research team, and when we started getting some external consultants coming in and doing mock reviews, that we started to believe, obviously I always knew the game was going to be okay and quite good, but I think that there's a lot of people in the studio who were like, well, this is looking a bit ropey, so when we started getting those kind of more positive those reviews in, it kind of lifted the confidence internally inside the studio and on the team. And then, you know, once we kind of knew we had something that could be good, it was then about like, okay, we have this deadline to kind of finish the game. How do we finish it so that, you know, is actually at the standards of high quality in terms of like technical performance and bugs and stuff like that, that we would be proud to ship. And that was a very stressful time. But then, you know, once the game comes out and we started getting review scores, then, you know, there's a bit of a weight lifted there. I remember I was sat in the office when the review scores started coming in. There's a photo of me that Thomas Puha took. It's just me with my head in my hands like this. And I'm like, Healy's like, Carl, the scores are good. What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like totally disconnected from reality right now. Because it's like you work for 5 years on something and then it all comes down to, a lot of it comes down to, you know, how do people, you know, people like yourself and other critics perceive it, because that kind of influences a lot of people's decisions on if they're going to play something. So to get that kind of like positive reaction was kind of, you know, great. I kind of went numb for a bit after that. And then, you know, when we were doing the awards, you know, it was amazing. And I'll never forget us doing, you know, the dance routine at the Game Awards for Herald of Darkness. I can't even believe that we ended up doing it. I can't believe Sam ended up, even did that. Like, it's just like,
honestly, I knew he was going to do something. I'm like, he has to do something. He can't just let it.
Yeah, I remember when we were like, we should try and do this, and you know, the kind of trying to get Poets of the Fall guys out to do the performance, and then also trying to get Ilka and Matt and David Harewood to kind of come over, like trying to do all of that setup to try and do that performance, and then seeing it live, it all went perfectly. People were excited. That was great. And then, you know, after that, we were after that high. You know, we during the period of after release, we were working on a lot of patches. We were trying to like stabilize the game a bit, work on some performance improvements, and also then planning out at the same time trying to make, you know, these expansions, which they are great in the sense that, you know, a lot of that creative uncertainty which I talked about earlier is kind of gone away. So you're kind of dealing with some more knowns. You know, we know how the combat generally works. We kind of know how to build our world and our levels and our story. So then it's just like, how can we create something unique and cool and fun? Not only just for like our, like for me or for Sam, but also for the team itself, you know, trying to give them a bit more, you know, creative freedom to do some crazy stuff. And I think that the Night Springs was a testament to kind of, you know, the kind of crazy ideas that we can kind of come up with when we don't have the kind of, you know, uncertainty of trying to figure out how to make the game. So that's kind of been fun, and the same goes for the Lake House to a certain extent. So it's been a roller coaster, but very much enjoyed it. 6 years, it's a long time. So, you know, while I'm very happy to have done all of this work, I'm quite happy now that, you know, we can put a pin in Alan Wake 2 and start thinking about the future. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Trust me, I can't wait to see what you guys have next. And I know you guys talked about Control 2 and a couple other projects and stuff, but I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. Now, I'm about to show you this picture right here. I know you guys released this, I think when the first let me see if I can find it here. When the first trailer came out, this one right here, there's a couple Easter eggs here. There's a couple. Now, on the side, I don't know if you guys, whoever's watching this, on the side here, there's like a little nice little cleaning area there. Are we going to get see a special guest in this expansion too or no?
That's well spotted. I'm not going to comment on anybody who appears or doesn't appear other than what we've released so far.
Just in case.
Now, yeah, I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on that screenshot though. Just like, because obviously it's a part of the Lake House. Does it feel?
Yeah, it's like, very Control. Like I see, maybe Dr. Darling involved in this one on the right side of the screen, and I see that, you know, also the what's the name of the character cleaning? Oh my God, what's his name?
Ati.
It's not. Yeah, Ati. Yes. Yeah, so he, I know he comes out in Alan Wake 2 also. He was there on vacation, karaoke, showing his skills, singing skills and everything.
Right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's just, I'm very curious now. I'm very curious to see if I'm right or not.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a part of the Lake House, and we're trying to architecturally make sure that we were faithful to the brutalism that we had in Seoul inside the oldest house with Control.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were trying to look at it from the perspective of the, you know, Alan Wake 2, so that includes, you know, the fact that we move a lot slower than Jesse moves in Control, and the fact that we have a camera that's a lot closer. So it gives us a slightly more intimate, I would say, experience of that brutalist, like, FBC-style architecture than what you got in Control, you know, with the oldest house. But we were working very closely with the Control team on that, and actually the world designer of Control, the world design director, Stuart McDonald, he actually was doing the original concepts for the lake house, for example. So to make sure that we were kind of being faithful to the architecture and design of these FBC buildings, and making sure that there was kind of that we weren't going in a direction that would kind of break the kind of all the things that we established it while building Control. So we did a lot of that throughout the course of making the expansion, not just on the architecture, but also just on, you know, visual design and audio design and the world design itself, how we want to tell the story, what kind of stories do we want to tell. So
it's probably going to make me go back and play the, you know, Control again after playing the expansion. So we'll see.
Alan Wake 2 plays a lot differently than Control does, so we're a lot closer. So we wanted to be a lot more intimate with the world, and you get a lot more details just in an FBC facility than you would have got in Control, where you were flying through the world. You know, you could levitate, throwing stuff around, destroying the whole place. So here we get to see the FBC and their kind of like how they work in a slightly different perspective, and I think that adds quite a lot to not just, you know, Alan Wake 2 and the lake house, but also just the FBC in general across all of our games.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the new enemies. It looks very different than the one we got to play in Alan Wake 2. What you can tell us a little bit about the new enemies you have?
Yeah, I mean, for Night Springs, we didn't really focus on creating completely new enemies. We had, obviously, we did have a new boss fight and some new takes on enemies, but nothing completely new. So for the lake house, I really wanted to add a new weapon and a new enemy type. And for us, it's important that all of our enemies are, they feel like they belong in the place that they are residing in. And what I mean by that is that, you know, for example, when you come across the Taken Diver, which is the enemy where it kind of reflects itself on the water plane in Alan Wake 2, that enemy takes place in the Valhalla nursing home, and there's a strong presence and theme of water there. So we wanted that kind of enemy that we introduced there to kind of match that theme. So it's the same here for this enemy, which we're calling the Painted. There's a lot of paint in the lake house, not going to go into details about why, but there is, and, you know, a supernatural enemy comes from that. We wanted to try and go for something that was a bit, you know, even though it's humanoid, it has slightly more monstrous, like, unnatural proportions to kind of give it that creepy vibe. And, you know, the paint gives us a very nice way to kind of visually tell an interesting story while it's on the screen. But very, very cool for us to have the chance to kind of do that, and the team, I think, nailed what we were going for very well.
Yeah, I know the new expansion, the lake house, is this going to be longer than the previous expansion, or is it similar?
It's kind of similar. Yeah, so yeah, we're looking at like 3 hours ish, and it really depends on how you play. If you're someone who explores, we have a lot of optional content in there, like narrative content. We're kind of bringing back some live action stuff there, so you'd be excited about that. And then a lot of, you know, I feel like in Control, you know, a lot of the story was told through the world design, and the kind of backstory was told through these kind of notes that you were getting, these FBC reports. So, you know, it's quite a high density of them in Control. So we kind of, I think we accidentally did the same thing in the lake house, where there's a lot of these FBC documents that you can find, which kind of go into the inner workings of the FBC as an organization. You know, how do they interact with each other? You know, how do they see it? How do they perceive the events of what happened in the oldest house and those kind of things? So it's a lot of extra information there for players to find if you're so inclined.
Yeah, actually, I want to show you one more thing before. This was, Alan posted this a couple of days ago. I think it was from May of 2018. What's up with this? Was in Seattle. Was that a restaurant?
Restaurant? I was not there, but yeah, and I wasn't even aware of this actually when he said this.
Oh, so, yeah. I was like, I was like, okay, this is really cool. It was like meant to be, man. Look at that.
I wasn't sure if Sam, if that's where he got the name from, or he just like was like, oh, I just found this photo. I think I'll post this. No,
perfect.
Knowing Sam, he probably did have some had something to do with it.
Sam loves to have fun with this, man, you know.
He does.
Yeah, man, definitely. Kyle, man, no, thank you so much, man, for sitting down with me. And, you know, I've always been saying this to everybody, like, your Remedy is like one of my favorite studios in the industry, man. Can't wait to see what you guys are going to be working on in the future. I know you guys are working on Max Payne, Control 2, and now with this TV and movie too. Mm. That's going to be fun too. Oh, man, it's
going
to be cool.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff honestly, going on here.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are busy. That's good. Like, I honestly, watching shows like Fallout and a couple other shows, Arcane, I always thought about, like, man, I could see Anna Wake and Control and Remedy doing some content for TV and movies. Like, they will be like the perfect studio to work on this, man. So can't wait to see what you guys have planned, man, in the future.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. It's exciting times at Remedy and good place to be at the moment. So happy about that.
Yeah, definitely, man. Congrats. And everybody, make sure to check out The Lake House coming out actually tomorrow for all systems. And if you want to check out also the physical version, right? You guys
that have also, it's coming out. That is also coming out tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, man. So there you go. Thanks, Kyle.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
All right.